Now we take you back to the night of February 26th, 1998, on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
By the way, you'll recall that I posted a fax yesterday from the Nightline staff at ABC, an angry fax telling me that I should instruct my listeners to write to them and not tie up the fax machine at Nightline because they couldn't even get internal faxes sent. And so I did. I read the fax on the air. I posted it on the website, and I gave out their mailing address, as you recall, yesterday. Today, the Nightline staff decided they were going to send all of the faxes they received to me on my fax machine. Now, I caught it after about 26 pages or so. But look, and by the way, the faxes that they did send that did get through before I chopped the cord on my machine were all, I thought, very articulate, polite, reasoned faxes from a lot of you asking for a very reasonable thing. The Dan Golden put on some pressure to ensure the Cydonia images would be taken. I thought it was all very reasonable. Nevertheless, they are engaging in fax war with me. And I would like to invite, if anybody from Nightline, from the Nightline staff, would like to come and go on the air, the whole intent of this was not to annoy you or to lock up your fax machine, but rather to have you ask some questions. You know, it wasn't just to engage in the beginning of the fax wars. No, not at all. We did this for a very genuine reason, and I'm wondering, I thought it might be interesting to get somebody from Nightline to come on the air and address the actual question and the reason for doing all that faxing. So I don't want a war with Nightline. I don't see any reason for them to be acting in that manner. And again, I say, read the faxes, folks. Don't just look at the numbers back there at Nightline. Read the faxes and see if you don't feel yourself. This is a big story and one deserves your attention. So there you have it. Also, the time traveler fax that I read, boy, Keith is good. It's already up there. The portion that I could not read on the air, was asked not to, is blacked out, just like in a Freedom of Information Act that you would you'd receive back from the government. You know, the part you really want to read is blacked out. But the rest of it, that which I read, is there for your perusal on my website now. Again, it's, of course, www.artbell.com. From the Denver Post in January, a mysterious object lit up the night sky and up and down the Front Range early Sunday, then startled witnesses with a deafening explosion. There was no official explanation about the object Sunday. Military spokesmen denied the object was a military aircraft. Of course they did. Local scientists speculated it could have been a meteor or maybe illegal fireworks. Douglas County resident Gunnar Haars witnessed the phenomena around 12:15 a.m. Quote, all of a sudden there was an impact that shook the house and then a double explosion immediately after the impact. Said Haars, quote, I don't know if a meteorite makes that noise, but I do know that my house was shaking. End quote. Boy, there sure is a lot of this going on, isn't there? International Line, you're on the air. Good. Oh, here's more echo. Hold on a minute. I'll get rid of the echo. Hello there. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Chris from Courtney, British Columbia.
Well, welcome.
I'd really like to know what your thought was on the UPN video, the alien in Lake County.
Look, as far as I'm concerned, it was a joke. And not a very funny joke, and a damaging joke to ufology. And I think that a lot of the individuals, Daryl Sims, Stan Friedman, and a lot of other people are going to, in other words, you've not heard the end of this.
Yeah, because if you watch them, they didn't make any real reference to the video when they were talking. It sounded like they just got put in there for...
Oh, look, hey, look, we don't have to guess about that one. I had these gentlemen on the air, and they said that's exactly right. They were interviewed prior to, and they never even, as a matter of fact, when I talked to Stanton first, he hadn't even seen the program.
Yeah, it's garbage. Okay, thanks a lot.
Yeah, you're welcome. That's my feelings. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, hold on, let me get my radio here.
Yeah, turn that sucker off.
Hi, how are you, Art? This is Brian from Phoenix.
Hi, Brian.
Let's see here. I sent you a CD with my song, The Quickening, on there. Did you get it yet?
I did indeed.
You did?
Yes.
Well, did you like it? Now, if you didn't like it, you could tell me. I won't be heartbroken.
You didn't ask me whether I listened yet.
Oh, okay. Well, did you listen to it?
No, I haven't, but I haven't listened.
Okay, well, you
But I will.
Sneak it on there on your show there. It'd be really neat.
Well, I all artists think it would be neat. I will listen to it, and if I think it's cool, I'll play it.
Okay.
All right?
Thanks, Art.
Okay.
All right,
take care. Yeah, The Quickening. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
How you doing, Art?
I'm doing.
Okay. First of all, can I get your address, please? Your home address? I was going to write you a letter.
Yes, I will give it to you. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
It is Art Bell, P.O. Box 4.
P.O. Box
4755.
4755.
In Pahrump.
P-H-R-U-M-P?
Close. P-A-H.
Oh, P-A-H.
R-U-M-P. Someday somebody's going to spell it right. Pahrump, Nevada, zip code 89041.
89. 0441.
Yes. Dash 4755.
Dash 4755.
Yes. You don't put that on there. People go postal.
Oh, okay. Do you remember the other night you were talking about negative, they might need some kind of negative force to go into to use for like time travel or whatever?
With Professor Kaku, he suggested that a negative matter, if we could find it, would allow time travel now without great amounts of energy. Yes, that is correct.
Have you heard of sprites in the atmosphere?
I've heard of them, yes.
Okay, they believe that that's negative matter because it shoots, instead of going down towards the Earth, during electrical storms.
It goes up, and in fact, even out of the atmosphere.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. It's very fascinating.
I wonder how you would catch a sprite. I mean, that's sort of the reverse of the Ben Franklin experiment. And if you caught a sprite, you might not like it.
True. Very true. It's very, very fascinating. You're going to be very surprised at this letter that I want to send you. It's I almost have proof and almost believe that I know how the pyramids were built.
Well, I'm not surprised. It's hard to surprise me anymore.
When they open up the downer near the Hall of Records, when I send you this letter, then it'll be documented what it is. Because when I had a lot of dreams when I was a small child.
Well, I'll tell you right now, if you believe, and I bet you do, the Hall of Records, as Casey predicted, would be below the left paw of the Sphinx, right?
Right.
Dr. Zahi Awas would say you're crazy as a loon.
Yeah, he would, but. It's there for a fact, and it's rather unique how these extra large ships that they're seeing, there's things that's on there that they use anti-gravity devices, but it's something that they use energy from the Earth, if you can understand, you know what I'm talking about there.
Well, I do. There are many people, thank you, who feel that the pyramids are a source of energy or a focusing of energy. Now, here's an interesting fact. Hi, Art. These ships that are being spotted around the western U.S. Now, he says ships, right? They're fireballs. Well, whatever they are. Around the western U.S. are the reconnaissance ships attached to the invasion force now being positioned about the planet. Their functions are to disable communications and cause confusion about what is taking place. Personally, I think they seem to be accomplishing their goals. Would you not agree? Well, not necessarily. One thing that I think we would notice would be an invasion force circling the planet, but who am I? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Well, good evening, Mr. Bell. This is Pete in Portland.
Hi, Pete. What's up?
No booms or bolides as far as I can tell over here. Just walked home from work about an hour ago.
Good. Glad you made it safely back.
Yes. Before I talk about time travel, maybe next time you start a fax war, you could ask the faxers to include some sort of legal phrase like, this is a private communication intended not to be transmitted, retransmitted by fax, except within your organization, something like
Nobody
that.
Nobody pays any attention to that crap anyway.
Yeah, well. time travel. I listened to Dr. Kaku's interview the other day.
Yes.
And I found it very interesting, although I have a few bones to pick with him. And one thing about time travel, though, is what if the entire cosmos is a big, giant time machine, about 15
Well, it is
billion,
a giant. It is a giant.
And it's turned on.
It is turned on. You're right on both counts. Everything is moving outward. I tend not to embrace the Big Bang Theory. I'm sorry, I just don't buy it. In other words, there was nothing. There was an object smaller than a quark. It became an apple. It became a basketball. It became all the suns and planets that are everywhere now out 15 billion miles. All that matter from something less than the size of a quark, I don't buy it. It reads like something out of a poor version of Star Trek to me. I don't buy it. I really don't buy the Big Bang thing. A wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, how you doing, Art? My name is Kieran. I'm calling from Tampa, Florida.
Tampa, all right.
Hey, I've been trying to get a hold of you for a real long time. It's like almost impossible.
Well, I'm glad you called. Beginning Monday, we are going to be on WFLA.
Oh, really?
Oh, really.
Oh, that's great. That's great. I'll have to check and see exactly what station that is. I'm a musician myself. I listen to a lot of rock music. We play rock music and stuff. But, I mean, you know, I listen to your show as often as possible. I work nights, so I'm up at night late anyway, so I listen. And I'm able to, but there's been a story I've been wanting to tell you for so long, and I've been trying to get through, and there's been the subject matter that had arisen on one of your previous shows would have been exactly what would have been talked about, but this is open discussion, right?
It is, so lay it on me.
Well, when I was a kid, I was probably around 8, 9 years old. This was in Charleston, West Virginia, where I grew up.
Right.
I'm 27 now. And there was this field of woods that we always used to play around, and we just called it the field.
Yes.
And it was just a bunch of woods.
Right.
And a friend of mine, Sam, and I, we were up one night. He was spending the night at my parents' house, and we had noticed really, really strange brightness in the air, and then there was a slam in the woods. Just
yes.
Like you'd hear in a car crash.
Right.
The whole neighborhood freaked out. Nobody really paid any attention to it, but there was like a dim glow over in the side.
Oh, boy.
And we used to play in that area the whole time. The next day, the police and a bunch of cars, and unmarked cars, real freaked out government-looking dudes, you know?
Yeah.
They were all there. That entire area was taped off. It was all taped off and cordoned off. No one was allowed to go there. We weren't even allowed to play there.
Men in black.
Yeah. And then later on, in a few weeks later, they plowed all that woods out. They brought equipment in and plowed all that woods out and cleared out the clearing. And the one place there, is still inaccessible. It's a restricted area now.
Even now?
You're not allowed to go there.
Well, then go there and take a photograph for me.
I would love to, and I would send it. Your caller just gave the address, and I'd love to. But well, see, we noticed a bunch of marked changes, in the environment. Vegetation in that area doesn't grow anymore in that specific area.
Well, I ask again, go take a picture for me.
I will do that.
All right, send it off to me, and we'll go from there. You know me. For as long as I'm able, I'll keep doing whatever it is that this radio program, this path, leads me down. What other fun can there be in life, right? East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
I guess I got an old program on here.
Really?
Yeah.
How could an old program be responding to you like this?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I guess I do have the radio.
Yeah. Anyway. Now do you see why I say turn down your radio?
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Anyway.
Where are you?
I'm in Dayton, Ohio, home of Hangar 18.
That is the home of Hangar 18, isn't it?
Yeah. I was really interested when I found that out myself. I got two things to say. First of all, the guy that was on last night talking about how everyone was going to be Christian at the end of the world, the actual statement is that we would all find out that we were having the same religion. It wasn't that we were all Christian. It was all realizing there was one religion. And second of all, about the letter from the time traveler.
Yes.
Isn't it possible that since he gave you that letter and you're talking about it on the air, that it could possibly be changing the events and it's not going to happen that way now?
Well, remember that there are key portions of that letter that I did not read.
Yeah.
And I presume he has enough knowledge, having traveled in time, to know what would and what would not create a paradox. He seemed not to think they were common at all. And that the information he did reveal would not create a paradox. So, what do I know?
Yeah.
I thought it was a good letter.
Yeah.
It gave specifics, things that we can look at coming up very soon that either will or won't happen. If they do, look out.
Yeah.
That it?
Yeah. Bye.
Well, appreciate the call. Thank you. That's why I read that letter, because I thought, there were quite a few specifics in there. It is on the website if you want to get a look at it. There is a blacked out portion. Those would be the three paragraphs that I told you I cannot read. West of the Rockies, you are on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Crow in Hayward, California.
Yes, sir. Oh, that's the home of the Hayward Fault.
Oh, yeah, of course. It's only about a mile from here.
About a mile, huh?
Yeah. I wanted to talk about...
If it ever really happens, could you call us up real quick so we could listen to your phone melt?
If it's not a tsunami, if that happens, I might end up in Modesto.
that's right.
I wanted to talk about Dr. Michikachu, but... first, I wanted to ask you about your theme song.
It's Michio Kaku, and my theme song. What about it?
Oh, the one you start your program off with.
Yes.
Is that from Midnight Run?
Midnight Express.
Midnight Express.
That's right.
Cool. That's the coolest song.
It's from
the night you got bounced off?
Actually, it's from the motion picture, and so the way you get it is to order the soundtrack to Midnight Express, and you get that.
Oh, cool.
It is a very cool song, actually. Look, I'm at a break point. It's our nickel, so you want to hold on?
Sure.
All right. Stay right where you are. Don't move, especially on that fault.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from February 26, 1998.
Listen, you got the chance.